Right, the first reading today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, for those who are following either here or at home. The verses are 1 to 13. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor, now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path, so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine, not regarded as impostors, known, yet regarded as unknown, dying, yet we live on, beaten, and yet not killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as my children, open wide your hearts also. This is the first reading.
Excuse me. Our second reading is taken from Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, reading from verse 35. That's Mark chapter 4. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray that you would open our minds, Father, to understand your word, and our hearts to receive your love. Teach us this day, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, there is a common notion, I'm sure you know it, amongst those who don't have any faith in Jesus, and amongst some who do, it's fairly prevalent, that by being a follower of Jesus, it should in some way iron out life's problems, that Jesus is a kind of fix for the common struggle of suffering in the world. And yet, we read in the Gospel of a boat with Jesus and the disciples in it, battered by the wind and being swamped by the waves, in danger of sinking. doubt and fear swirling around the boat like the wind that is buffeting it. It's much more a real picture of life with Jesus. And we who follow him should be prepared for such a life. You see, this is a story that looks back through time to other stories of faith. Stories that the readers of Mark's gospel would have heard and they would have known. Think of Jonah sailing away from God's will and purpose and being overcome by that great storm, such that he himself was thrown overboard in an effort by the crew to appease the elements. Or think of the Israelites crossing the Red Sea, escaping from slavery with the Egyptian army pursuing them and being swamped by the waves. Or think of the beginning when God's Spirit hovered over the murky deep, the chaos, and he brought out a new order of a world of beauty and wonder emerging from this dark primordial sea. Jesus said, "Let's go over to the other side." Since Star Wars and the Darth Vader, that phrase has taken on some dark connotations, sinister connotations. But actually, when Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side," there were sinister connotations. Jews didn't go to sea very much. They did a bit of fishing, that's all, and mostly on the Sea of Galilee. The heaving, moving, unpredictable sea for them symbolized the evil, the dark forces of evil that threatened to destroy God's purposes and his people. In their mind, in the Jewish mind, monsters came from the sea. So here's a story of Jesus rescuing the disciples from the storm. And it tells us of the life that life with him will mean that we face the storms in life. And we face them precisely because Jesus says, "Let's go there. Let's go to the place of heaving chaos and darkness. Not like Jonah, to avoid God's will, but to do God's will. Let's go so we can free people from their slavery. Let's go so that a new order of light may come. Let's go to the people who are caught up in it all and seek the kingdom of God breaking in." If you're a follower of Jesus, Jesus will say to us, "Let's go to the heaving places of darkness and evil so that we can bring the kingdom of God to it." And that's what the ministry of Meadgate Church, it seems to me, has been about for so long. Looking to provide relief for the people in our neighborhood, for those who want their lives to be better, for those who need to belong somewhere, for those who might find something to believe in our work, to help people have food for the day, to support others with housing need who are in financial difficulty. We bring some stability to the storms of life by being there with them. Our ministry is bringing light to the darkness and calm to the chaos by what we do in this place, through this place, and from this place. Because Mark says this story of going over to the other side reminds us of those other watery, stormy stories, telling us that the kingdom of God is at hand. The power of the storm, the power that made the world, that parted the sea, that stirred up Jonah's storm, that power is living and is active in Jesus. And Mark wants us to ask that question that the disciples asked. Who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey him. And when we've made the connection, we will know the answer. He is God's man, doing God's will in God's power. And if we grasp that truth, then we can go on with him. Because this story not only looks back, it also looks forward. It's telling us what Mark is going to describe in the coming chapters of his book. The next chapter tells us of Jesus with his disciples encountering a madman possessed by the forces of evil. And then you can read of the death of a child, and then the death of John the Baptist. And then there are angry men plotting, and then there are powerful men taking him a prisoner. And in the boat, Jesus is in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And the disciples are cross and they're angry about that. Lord, don't you care if we drown, they say. Isn't it so tempting to respond like that in our storms of life? God is asleep. He doesn't care. He's not interested in my difficulties. The ministry of the church can feel like that sometimes. Sometimes we just don't know what to do. We haven't got a clear answer to the problems that we face. How do we run the great Baddow team of churches, the three of them, with only two stipendary ministers now? How do we make it so that everyone feels sufficient pastoral ministry is being provided? How do we make it so that our junior church is provided for when each church is saying they haven't got many kids and the leaders, the few leaders that they've got, are overstretched? How can Meadgate Church manage its car parking issues when so many people want to come here? How can we reinstate the gas supply, which is going to cost us a lot of money, when we've spent so much money renewing the walls and the windows? What about our staff shortages in the orchards and the cafe? What do we do now that one of our staff members has died? Lord, don't you care if we drown? But look ahead. Look ahead in the story that Mark is going to tell us. And we find Jesus not in the stern on a cushion, asleep, but on the cross, slumped and dead. And all seems lost. But on the third day, the tomb is empty. The storm is stilled. And the risen Jesus says, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" See, the story of Jesus is always a story of hope. And if we're caught up in it, whatever the circumstance of life, there is hope. The future is assured. God will bring us through, even if it is a crucifying experience. And that, of course, is where our story takes us. It's the hope we proclaim and must proclaim, but more than that, must believe if we are to live through the struggles of our day. Because if we can grasp that this is a story that looks to the past and it also looks to the forward, to the future, then it becomes also a story for living in the present. All the power of the Creator God and all the hopes that Jesus sets before us combine and give us a faith for the day in which we live. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. Leaving the crowd behind, you see, Jesus calls us out of the crowd. Come out of the crowd and get into the boat. Sail life's stormy seas with him. And that, first of all, is a personal response. It's my response and your response. To trust that even if Jesus is asleep when things get rough, he does care. And he won't let you down. He can control the wind and the waves. But to be in the boat with him whilst he sleeps, that's the lesson we need to learn. To live in the midst of the wind and waves, trusting him anyway, with that inner calmness that enabled him to sleep through it. Because when we embark in the boat with Jesus, we find that even if we've left the crowd behind, we are not alone. There were also other boats with him. Other people are crossing over too. That's the church. We travel with each other in faith. This is why it's important that we can get back in our buildings after the storm of coronavirus. Because Christian faith is a together faith. There are no individual Christians. And that's why we can't ignore our other churches and their needs in this great battle team. We're battling a storm of change together. You may have heard me speak on this subject about three foundational values that I set out for this team since I became rector. Shared faith for a start, that we are all believers in Jesus, that God is good. Oh, you don't sound convinced. That the Holy Spirit is power for living in the kingdom on earth. And then there's collegiality. We work together on the things that we can do best together. Maybe some missional things, maybe things to do with worship. And then there's mutuality, that we hold one another, each in mutual affection, all as important as each other. And mutuality is the thing that is greatest challenge to us. You see, history tells St. Mary's Church that they should be more important. They're the mother church. They planted St. Mary, Meadgate and St. Paul's. But style tells Meadgate Church that they do it better. They're a very different church to us. They need to learn something of what we do. And resources tell St. Paul's that they shouldn't have to pay so much. They're smaller. They should be let off. The truth is, we are all those who left the crowd behind. And we're all facing the storm. And each is a boat with him. Each trusting in him, whom the wind and the waves obey. So this is a story of the past, reminding us who Jesus is, remembering all those great watery stories of faith and the power that Jesus has to be present with us in the boat. And it's a story of the future, telling us that there is hope after crucifixion. We are never lost to God. And it's a story for now, enabling us to live the day with faith, trusting the man in the boat with us. May God help us this day to recognize ourselves as disciples in the boat, full of fear and confusion and doubt. And help us to cry out to him, who is the one who controls the wind and the waves, and find in him the blessed assurance and our hope that he will be with us in every storm and every circumstance of life. Amen.